Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. Greetings, greetings, greetings. This is Mama 7, and we're doing radio. We're in the classroom. Love being in the classroom. That's where all the learning happens. And I remember there was a point last year I was like, ooh, pay attention to the themes. Pay attention to what Spirit is saying, because there's messages in there. I'm having a feeling we got the same thing going on. Spirit is talking to somebody. Now, Spirit is always talking to me, so I'm always paying attention and writing things down, because I know when we get here, either I've seen this all week or I'm about to see it. Either way, I don't want to get snuck up on, so I pay attention, all right? So today, we're going to be talking about handling the distractions of the world. We're going to go into last week. Listen. Last week was feeling spiritually disconnected. Sometimes we feel spiritually disconnected because what? We're handling the distractions of the world. I'm like, oh, Spirit, you know. So it's just how it is. I can't argue about it. This is how we do it. But that feeling spiritually disconnected was really, really good, because we had some people call in and share with us, okay, how do you move out of this disconnect? First, we normalize the disconnect. Now, you don't want to stay there, because the longer you stay in the as long as you stay in the oblivious, you know, as long as you stay in the, you know, well, you know, as long as you stay in that kind of, you know, don't care if it comes, don't care if it goes, you know, the longer you stay there, the longer you take a risk of not really coming back all the way. We can't be spiritually disconnected. Spiritually disconnected means the things that we do to keep us aligned with God, we're not doing them anymore. When you're disconnected, you have shifted out of alignment. You know, not being spiritually connected or being disconnected, that can come from something as simple as not making your prayers, getting caught up on busy and busy. It can come from traumatic experiences. There are a lot of different things that happen in life that will throw us off kilter. We need to fight against those. And last week's show, we spoke about, okay, what do you do to get back on track? You know, I heard make prayers. I heard reach out for friends. I heard lean heavy on that gratitude list, which is always a favorite of mine. You know, what you pray for, the things that you pray for are the things that you're serious about. So, yeah, this is what we're getting to. You know, because what we're trying to do, and I want you to be very clear, the purpose, the purpose of A Wonderful Approach really is to get God in your life, and not in a, you know, postcard kind of way, but in an everyday, like the air we breathe kind of way. You know, this world will have you thinking that God doesn't have a place in our hearts, in our life, in our everyday. But that's so opposite. That's so not the truth. God, we need God like we need the air. This world will have you thinking something else, but the world is wrong. We need the God. The God supplies everything else we think we need. Oh, no, I need to get to work. Okay. I promise you, you keep making that work your job, you won't have it. Oh, I have to do this. I have to be a mother to my children. Those children are here because God has blessed you with such. So understand even how they got here, the role they play in your life. So it's so important that we can put God in the proper place in our lives so we can have lives, so we can do the things we say we want to do, the things that we say are important to us. This is what we're looking for, right? So today we're going to get into 100%. We're going to get into handling the distractions of the world. Now, why might that be important? Because there's only 50 million distractions out there. Million. Each person has 50 million distractions. And it's so hard because they will pile up on you in the most disrespectful types of ways, the distractions of the world. Okay? Now, I can tell you, you only need, and I say this, I say it and I live it. You only need one reason to do the right thing. Whatever the right thing is for you, you only need one reason. And the reason is, I'm going to tell you the answer now. I hate telling you the answer at 8:07, and this is an hour-long program, but this is the answer. You do the right thing because God wants you to. And you're like, oh, it can't be that simple, but yet it is. It is. We do the right thing because God says so. We do the right thing because God has programmed us to. We do the right thing because God is setting us up for our next victory. We do the right thing because we know the devil is waiting for our next defeat. We really have to understand there's only one reason to do something. Now, there's always 50 million reasons not to. Oh, my God. I'm tired. You know, and my hands would cramp writing down all the reasons why I don't do it. I'm tired. I don't have fun. I don't have money. I don't want to do it by myself. You know, I don't want to be the only one out there without it. I don't want to be the only one with it. I don't want to, you know, everyone else is wearing blue and I got on red. You know, it's so many reasons why do the very things that we know that we should. And I wanted to talk about tonight how to handle your distractions. And I say yours. I'm talking about mine as well. But I want this to be really personal, okay? Don't give me the vague stuff tonight. I need this to be your distractions. And we can go in, you know, I want to, there are times where I'm okay with the vague stuff, and there's times where I'm like, no, what do you do? No, you personally, okay? And I want to talk about what what are we doing when we are distracted? What are we doing? And we all have a list of things that you're doing. You know, you're playing video games. You're not praying. You're not studying your prayer. We're not investing time into our spouses. We're distracted, doing something else, washing dishes. And we're going to talk about good distractions and bad distractions, but washing the dishes isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing, especially in my house. We got 1,000 dishes. What do you mean, Mama Seven? That's a bad thing. But when it's time to be investing time into your spouse, when it's time to be speaking with them and consoling them, when it's time to be uplifting and encouraging them, that's not the time to do the dishes. And you know it. So we're not investing time into our children. My goodness. I know they talk a lot. I got my own. I have godchildren. I work with children. Oh, my God. and all they do is talk, 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 and they're happy talking, and I'm like, oh, my God. And so I understand that they're talking a lot. At the same time, there's an investment where you can come in and invest 5 minutes in account. And they don't always have to be, oh, mommy's tired. We have to talk tomorrow. No, I can give you 5 minutes. As long as we're not talking about that, what is it, Minecraft? Yeah, I can give you 5 minutes. I'd like to know how that algebra test went. Oh, yeah, No, I can give you 5 minutes. And then after that, you're going to go clean up your home, clean up your room. It's a bloody mess. So, you know, the words are investing time. I'm not saying you got to sit there and let them ramble forever and ever, but you can make an investment of time into them quickly that will allow them to feel invested in. What else are we doing when we're not, what else are we doing to be distracted? Letting our housework, oh my God, talking about myself. I told you it's going to be personal tonight, and nobody's safe, not even me. Oh, my God, that housework. I don't know where it all came from. I think my glasses are multiplying by themselves. Between the shrine glasses, the spirit glasses, and then the juice glass. I'm like, where are all these glasses coming from? Last time I had an event at the house, one of the guy's children said, Mom is having for only two people to live here. You sure got a lot of coffee cups. And I laughed, and I looked around. There had to be like 20 coffee cups there. And I was like, I guess I do, huh? Yeah, there are only two people in the house, aren't they? And, man, that made me laugh. Those coffee cups are multiplying on me. I didn't buy all those coffee cups. They just here. So letting our housework slide. What else is distracting us? We're letting our health slide. Now, you know you should be walking around the block. Now, you know you should be drinking that water right before you go to bed. I'm sitting here in my big old glass of water while it's looking at me, and I'm like, yeah, okay. But we're letting our health slide. Why? Why? Because we're distracted. I'm distracted. I got other things to do. I have this beautiful kitten here. He needs attention. And I know you're like, Mama Seven. Giving the innocent cat attention can't be wrong. What I'm saying that is not right if you're using it as an excuse to let other things go. So I need to pay I need everybody to pay attention because this is my list. This is my list. Everybody has their own list. What are you not doing? We need to kind of call it out. You know, let a spade be a spade. It's time to call it out and be like, hey, you're distracting me. You can't continue to be here. You can't sit and take up space. When you start to be honest with yourself like that, then we're really getting somewhere. But we're not being honest. It's easier to do the dishes. It's easier to, you know, blame it on TV. I wanted to see, it's easier to do, to just allow the distractions to take hold. And we have to be very careful about that because anytime we're not doing what God said to do, now we're moving on our own muscle. And our own muscle is only going to take you so far. Okay? How do I get off track? I know how. Too hard. Oh, it's too hard. I'm not going to be able to do it anyways. It's going to be too much effort. No. How about that? That's what we think. What about if the task is actually very hard? You know what I'm saying? And we're like, ooh, this is going to take more. I mean, I've had a couple of situations just this year. I said, ooh, it's going to take me about 2 months to recover from that. And when I said it, I said it before I even thought about it, but then I thought about recovery. I thought about what it took to really get over something, to get past something, whether it's a financial uh-oh, whether it's you're missing a goal in your health, whether you are, you know, skipping a couple other steps somewhere. Sometimes the task is actually hard and has to be broken down into smaller pieces. That's okay, but just break it down. Allow your mind, allow your body the time and energy to recuperate so you can move forward. It's okay if it takes a little bit longer than what you had in your mind. What's not okay is you being comfortable and sitting and thinking, oh, it's just God. I can get to him tomorrow. It's just my ancestors. They love me. They'll be patient. See, we don't know enough on this level that we're on to assume we have another day to play with. We don't know enough about this level that we're on to sit back and be comfortable when God has told us to move, that we'll have another chance to do it tomorrow. There are things in life you don't get second shots at. There are things in life that once God has moved past you, God may be moving on to your children or your grandchildren. Now, that's a hurting up feeling. Ooh, that's a hurt feeling. When you like, okay, God, I'm ready. Are you ready? Oh, I gave that gift to your daughter. I gave that gift to your granddaughter. Because you weren't ready. Now your family has to wait two generations for you to realize and actualize a gift I have for you. But guys, it only took me an extra 3 years. Guess what? You didn't have an extra 3 years. You didn't have an extra 3 months. You didn't have an extra 3 days, daughter, and you weren't ready. So now your children will have to wait. Guys, oh, what's for you, and I've heard people say this, what's for you is for you, right? Yeah, for you. You'll get to watch it with your children, right? You still get the benefits of it. This is why I would say, oh, blessings. Blessings go forward and backwards. You'll still get the blessings on it. You just won't get the experience of it because when God called you, he said, come on, and you put him off. Because God, all these tasks and stuff, we know when we should be divinely doing what we need to do. Speaking about myself, I know I have a couple of pounds I need to work on. That's for me. I know I have to live a healthier lifestyle because God not through with me. He got lots of work for me to do. I have traveling to do. I'm not going to be able to get anything done if I don't get this health in order. So it's not that God is waiting on these pals, but he's waiting on his health. Because if you can't get that health straight, daughter, I'm going to have you sit down for a second. And I'm going to move on to your children. So if you would like to stay, you know, there, current, if your heart beats for it, if this is what you want, stop putting it off. Stop being distracted. Okay, how else do we get off track? Now I'm saying some bad words. Look, these phone lines are packed, but it's quiet out there. I get it. I understand. It's fine. It's fine. I'll circle back on you. No problem. I will circle back. But look, how else do we get off track? We are afraid of failure. There are some of us that are so afraid of failure, they won't even try. So any distraction gets them. The wind blew. Oh, I'm distracted. It was a pretty day outside. Now, it was a really pretty day outside. And we'll still get distracted because we're so afraid of failing that if we can't see a guaranteed success, we're going to sabotage it. Off track. We're afraid of success. Now, I don't know who that is. I'm always looking for the success. I'm looking for the blessings. I'm looking for the yes. We're afraid of success? Why? Why? Why be afraid of success? The why doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter where it started. Just understand that now you're off track. You have allowed this to distract you. How do we get off track? We're afraid of what others will say. Now that, we need to stop. But how can we stop? When social media keeps us all buzzed up. Social media is like, oh my God, I can't believe that she's wearing my dress. Oh my God. Social media keeps us so messed up and caught up in each other that we actually get off track from looking at this sliver pictures, and they post them on social media. They be studying them pictures, okay? It's not like, click, hey, here you go. No, it's like, did my chin droop? Can you see my double chin? Can you see how my nails need to be done? They're studying these pictures, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's a whole lot. We have become afraid of what others will say. Off track. And then the last off track I want to talk about, just real quick, is that we're scared of the I told you so. Of someone being able to say, I told you so. I told you leave that alone. I told you go, guess what? There are a couple things I would like everybody to take out of their vocabulary. Okay? And I told you so is one of them. Take it out and drown it. Don't be sitting there with the I told you so in your pocket. Don't do it. Don't do it. I know you told them so. They know you told them so. But your mouth, don't say it. Don't do it. Stop torturing people. So what? You want to remind someone who already knows they made a mistake that they made a mistake? Be quiet. That's not helpful. That doesn't make anybody better. We have to do better than that. But guess what? Everyone's not in a wonderful approach. So everyone doesn't get the benefit of knowing how detrimental I told you so is. They don't know. They say it anyway. At the worst time, crushing. It's just crushing. It's taking a little bit of crumbs. You know, life handed you a hard situation. It's taking those crumbs and just rolling over them with a rolling pin. I told you so. I told you so. Be quiet. Let me learn my lesson. And if you see me learning my lesson, give me some encouragement. Don't beat me down with how I told you so. But again, like I said, the world doesn't know yet. So we have to be patient with other people. When someone sits there and told you so, understand they've been waiting on you to slip up. They've been waiting to pull that ace out and slam it down on the table. They've been waiting on it. And I feel kind of sorry for people. Like, man, how much of your mental space has been taken up with my lesson? I thought I was studying my lesson. You overstudying my lesson. This is how we get off track. We get afraid. We start thinking, oh, they're going to say something. They're going to do, bump them. We have to move forward regardless. Parent out there that can hear my voice, we have to teach our children how to move forward after a scrape, after a little uh-oh. You're going to be upright. You know, I think when it comes to boys, we teach them physical pain. Oh, you can move past that. And I think with the girls, we teach them, oh, you can achieve that. You don't worry about that. And we need to take it a step further and teach both skills. So every parent, take a minute to take I told you so out of your vocabulary, because even children need the benefit of being able to make mistakes and learn from them. So take that out, and then let's start teaching them. Should I show mine? I tell them, I don't like this, but I have to keep moving forward because this. Or I'm feeling this. I share with them. They've seen me have to go through hard things. They've seen me go through some easy things, but I share. So they don't think I'm just skipping through life. I don't want to disillusion them to where they think, oh, mom's great. Mom had a great time. You see her smiling? Oh, she's doing fantastic. And I don't want them thinking life is all about work. Oh, my mother was miserable. She never did anything fun for herself. No, I don't want them seeing that either. So remember that what we're doing, our children are going to turn around and do. So let's teach them. Let me see. I think I have a caller. Yes, I have one caller. One brave soul that's going to say, how do you handle the distractions of the world?
Peace.
Greetings. How are
Peace.
You?
I'm well. I don't know. You may not get the people that feel brave when you say one brave soul. You know, this is a good conversation. I don't feel intimidated about coming up and sharing. That's not the most inviting greeting. It's not that bad. I don't think, anyway. Now, I have a few things I wanted to address. One was about the distractions. I thought that was a great portion of the show in the science that I practice. You know, that particular energy is also referred to as a djinn. And you have degrees of them. And one is a major djinn, a major energy of distraction. That's the large things coming at you, the things you are obvious that will take you off your course. And then you have this smaller energy of djinn known as a khinzab. That's the distraction, like you were talking about, that pulls you off the course with other things that might be lawful. They're not necessarily sins. They're just distractions. Like, did I leave, for example, if you're in prayer, and did I leave the iron on to take you from the prayer? So you have little things like that in life. I think that I love what you said. It's just about owning up, being honest, realizing that I have something real to focus on, and it's going to take effort to concentrate. I remember a thing you used to do, and I don't know if you and Tyler and the young men now still do it, but you would tap the center of your forehead. You would tell them to stay focused.
Okay.
You know, if you see them drifting off, you wouldn't even have to say the word focus. You tap the center of that forehead. If you see them drifting this way, being distracted, remember the mission, remember the focus. So whatever you have to do to have that tap on the center of your forehead, your spiritual forehead, remain focused. Find a mantra. Get a charm that you rub on when you start drifting, but just tap the center of your forehead, remain focused. The other thing I wanted to address was about that I told you so. I think that was excellent. Just like we have the precision of language, there's an art to listening and assessing a situation. Sometimes I think you and I spoke about this before, Mama Seven. Sometimes some people just want someone to vent to. I mean, if your spirit can handle that, if you you prayed up and you did your purification and you have a process that you purify after you do your readings or you talk to these people with this very powerful, clingy type of energy, you know, you proficient on your whatever you do to cleanse yourself after that, sometimes you just have to learn how to just listen. Sometimes they don't want to comment. They don't want, I mean, you have to learn to be stoic. You know, don't even just blank face, you know, and just be a living, excuse me, just a living body, so to speak. And then there's other times that they may want your advice and some of your wisdom if they take your words to be wise. Those are the times that I ask you, I say, so, and just to get it clear, like, okay, so am I listening or is this, or you say, no, I just need to get it off my chest, okay. And then I put on my listening ears and zip my mouth. So it's just about assessing and, you know, those things. All right. That Absolutely. Was it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I appreciate you sharing and reminding the sign language. If anybody's been around me, especially when the baby was younger, oh, he was wild. Wild is being polite. And I didn't want the whole world knowing what I was saying to them. And I was like, hey, settle down. Sit down. I had sign language. Something like an umpire referee over in the corner. And my big boy and a couple other people knew what those signs meant. Okay? Sit down. You know, focus. And it was a great way to remind them I was distracting their distraction. I was recentering them. I was refocusing them, you know. And one thing that Brother Ibrahim said, and I appreciate him for saying it, what is your motivation to get past these distractions? I know what mine are. I know what my mission every day when I wake up, I know what my mission is. I'm listening for God's directions. I'm looking for guidance. You know, when they say God order my steps, everybody want to say this until you get near the mud. And then when God marches you straight through that mud, you're like, oh, my God, what is this? You know, don't get distracted. You know, God doesn't always yell. Sometimes his voice, it comes at a whisper. And you kind of really have to hear it. You have to really listen and make sure that you heard correctly, because your own thoughts, voice, ego, whatever, will get in there and start kicking around, and you're like, oh, is that what God said, or is that what I want God to have said to me? We can get in the habit of distracting ourselves. And how close is that? That's not even, we're not even talking about social media on the phone or games that are on the phone or Netflix. Netflix is horrible. So it's horrible and great at the same time. If you have a certain amount of chill time, it's great. Now, if you stuck there for half a day, if you're running late to work, that's not great. That's not wonderful. So, And we don't always have to wait until devotion to get serious about ourselves. You don't have to wait till devotion. I know quite a few people that said, you know what, I'm going to start cutting back on my swearing right now. And I'm like, fantastic. That's not even a skill that you need. I'm going to start, you know, whatever my little thing is. I got three or four people that are like, I think I need to start that now. And I'm like, get to it. I got another caller that would like to speak. Love my callers because, you know, like I said, we're making this personal. So what is your distraction and how do you stay away from it? How do you make sure you're like, no, I'm not going to do that no more? I'm not going to allow that to power over me, because when something is distracting you, it has power over you. So hold on for just a second. I'm going to grab a caller. Welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Melissa. Good evening.
Hey, Sister Melissa, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Listening to my twin speak just a little while ago, you know, said some words that really touched on me. But I wanted to add something to that. Back when I was younger, I remember my elementary school teachers telling me I distract myself. So I've been working on this for a very long time. And my father, this is the funny thing, my father, when he would discipline me, would thump me in the middle of my forehead. I hated that. That was, oh, my goodness. But he would take that middle finger and that thumb and thump me in the middle of my forehead, and that was my discipline. And you're right, it'll make you focus. It'll make you angry, but it'll make you focus. Now that I don't hit Area 51 and I don't let all the aliens loose, I am realizing you have to have knowledge of self, and the reason why you have to have knowledge of self is because you have to be able to identify that that is a distraction. Like you said, it could be something big like work. It could be something small like honestly, I could go outside and look at the beehive and be just distracting myself from something else I need to be doing. Like, it doesn't have to be something major or something that's a catastrophe. However, that in itself has its own power. So for me, how I have to redirect myself is I have to be able to identify that this is a distraction. And then I have to literally tell myself, talk to myself, either out loud or whatever, to get my act together and regain my focus on what I'm doing. And in my current life, there's a lot of moving parts that are really going on right now, and all of them require a lot of attention. So now I'm already a planner, but I have to plan it out. Then I have to remember the plan and then execute them. So like we said before about having a lot of things to do and not so much time, how do you do it? And you do one little bit at a time. I might spend an hour in the sewing room. I might spend a whole Saturday working on a reupholstery job. I might stay late at work and do some extra work. Like right now, work itself got like 18 moving parts. So I have to stay late just to handle 3 of the 18. And then each day realize you're making progress. I have this passionate eagerness that I am grateful to God for. Like, I am living in the spirit of eagerness and acceptance and being a vessel for God. Like, literally, that's my intent. So once you can connect with God on that level, know yourself, do your planning. You can undistract yourself, but you have to identify it. And then you got to figure out a plan around it. Like, if my family, we lose our keys all the time. I finally realized I need to hang it up. My sister still loses her keys. I don't understand the difference, but I am committed to hanging my keys up, and it works. So I received that blessing. It's just that blessing.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you know, again, distracting yourself from the problem will have you ready for the solution. Perfect. Perfect. But yeah, that focusing thing is real. It's very real. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Melissa. You got that. You got that. And that guy, another caller that jumped in here. Look, we need all the help we can get. You know, and I because this is personal, Melissa said, look, let me walk you down memory lane. Let me tell you how I've been dealing with this forever. That's what we need, because these distractions, they don't present themselves in hypotheticals. These distractions are very real and very present in our life. And so it's like, how do we handle those? How do we move forward with those? So, okay, I got another caller. I want to hear how we handle the distractions. Greetings, sister. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, Seven, into the collective. This is Sister Faith.
How are you?
I am fine. The queen of self-distraction.
Okay. Okay.
You know, spirit is funny and not funny at the same time. You know, it's like you make sure you get on the call tonight. And I was like, okay, Spirit, I'm going to get on the call. And I promise you, I was distracting myself. I was reading a book. I was looking at stupid videos. I was going in circles. Knew my altar needed to be done. I'm going to start in a minute. Everything I could do to distract myself, I did.
Uh-huh.
But the way I stopped distracting myself is just get up and do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So
yeah.
When God gives me instructions and I'm like, oh, who are you, really? You want me to minister to her? I don't even like her. I don't want to talk to her. I could be in your presence all day and never say a word. And I've been learning that with the distracting myself with other things and stopping myself from doing what God is asking me to do, I keep getting the resistance. And in that resistance, I don't caught a cold. I done ran into some, you know, money dry up. Because God don't ask me for a lot. Because I don't really ask for a lot. So when he asks of me, it doesn't seem like a lot. But all these things happen, and he always gives me indication that I'm not on task. Because stuff starts to look crazy around me. And so if I'm distracting myself because I'm not doing what I ought to be doing, but I'm doing everything, but I start getting the little messages. Oh, okay. You thought you had an extra $20. You don't even watch Netflix, but they done took the money. And we're like, dang, I don't even watch it. Who's been watching Netflix? You know, like, it stuff like that. God say, hold on, you paying attention yet? Oh, no? Okay, now, here you go. Now you got a cold. I know I got your full undivided attention because you hate being sick. And no lie, he got my whole attention. You know, don't take much. But when I start getting distracted and I realize that I've been distracted, not really much, other people, my kids, they talk to me. I don't mind. Talk to me. Tell me all about your day. I'll sit there 15, and I listen to the Minecraft conversation. Really?
Oh, my God.
Dungeons and Dragons. That's really creative. I'll listen to it because it's distracting me from doing something I'm supposed to be doing. I'm listening. Got an undivided attention. However, when I pull back and I say, okay, God, what was that you said? God is like, are you sure you listening now? Because, you know, it would be worse if I was getting popped. But I'm just getting warnings. I'm not getting popped. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you distracting. Yeah. All right, let me take this away from you and see how you feel. Oh, okay. Exactly. You still okay with that? All right, let me give you this. And now, and when I say I turn around and I had to learn to start paying attention to these signs. Because they signs and wonders for a reason. Oh, wow, I wonder how that happened. It happened because you wasn't paying attention and you wasn't on task. And when I start paying attention and I say, okay, God, I'm going to do what I should be doing, and you're going to take care of the rest. If I just go back to what I know to do, everything else is going to fall into place. But
it
when we step prayer, and, you know, I love prayer. I talk to God all day long if I want to. But like I said, I could be in a room with you all day long and never say a word. So if I'm not talking to God, those things start to happen. And I start to see he's looking at me like, wait a minute, you ain't been talking to me all day. I miss your chatter. What you got going on? Where you at? Oh, you think you me now. You trying to control the situation. Let's see how it worked out for you. And it's not until I bump my toe. It's always my little toe. It's not even my head. It's my little toe. You know, you bump that little toe, how it feels. It's when I bump that little toe that I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Ooh, I'm not supposed to be walking this way because God is in control. And, Lord, I'm sorry. Let me go back to what I know. Can I get back to what I know to do?
I'm sitting here laughing with you, not at you. Okay, I need everyone to understand that. But I'm laughing.
Listen,
with her
I know you
because...
know. I know you
the
know.
The level of honesty that we're dealing with, really, really, that's a distraction. Oh, no,
it's
but
a distraction.
I'm trying to help the world. I didn't clean up the world, daughter. I told you to
Who
go
Who told you to
this.
Do that? I told you to pray. What are you doing? I didn't tell you to put your hands on nobody and heal them. I just told you to pray. I didn't tell you to do nothing else. You know, it's like when our kids were younger and we tell them, sit right there and don't move. And then they stand up. You're like, what are you doing? Why are you standing? I told you to sit.
I just told you not to move, okay? I just told you not to move. Just sit down.
Just told you
yes.
not to move. Mm-hmm. And now you're standing mm-hmm. up. Who told you? Why are you doing it? That's the relationship.
Oh,
so we
got to
get away from those distractions. Stay focused.
Yes.
I love that. I used to tap my kids on the
yes.
forehead, too. When people see our kids acting right, and they all we got to do is look across the room at them, and they stop whatever
yes.
they're doing, it's because of those things. It's that type of training. Hey,
and it's training.
You focus?
It's really training. Yes, it's training. Whether you're giving them
we
the
have
reward
to retrain
or getting
ourselves.
The consequences. Yes, go
mm-hmm.
back to what you know. We already know this.
Go back to what
we
you know.
We know this because
you know
of
it.
Parents took the time to teach us. That's how we know it.
That's
we
right.
know it because we were
That's
taught.
How we know.
We were trained.
It
we
was
know
taught.
What to do. The elders of the church, they did their job. Well, they don't have to
That's
keep
right.
doing it. They did their job. All we have to do is go back and pay attention as to where we were and what we're supposed to be doing. And those elders are still looking at us in spirit form, and they're like, hey, hey, is that necessary right now? You're getting distracted.
Nope. Oh, you're
so,
all the way off course. Oh, look at her.
Yeah.
Bump a toe, Lord.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Mama 7, I
Ring
thank you for
bell.
Allowing me to share my truth. Y'all pray for me as I get back on track and stay on focus
okay.
point.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Faith. Boy, let me tell you. Been there, done that. I swear. I can only tell you that because I've been there and done that. It is so hilarious to hear it, all right? Just like Faith said, there are good distractions and there's bad distractions. You know, you want to rescue the kitten in a tree. That's wonderful, wonderful. Great distraction, right? But if you're on your way to work and you've already been late and you got one more write-up in you, maybe that's not the right time to rest. Maybe that kitten needs to wait for the fire truck. And I love cats. Nah, that needs to wait. Okay? Bad distractions. Bad distractions is right before you go on that Zoom call, small business that you've been working on forever, and your children decide they want to start fighting over peanut butter and jelly at that very moment. That's a bad distraction. Now, I promise you, I know it's irritating. You can hear him in the background. Y'all hear my cat hollering all the time. You know, but guess what? You can let that go. Push that Zoom call. I mean, there's almost like there always has to be some kind of irritant going on just to make sure that, you know, hey, do you really want this? Is this really important to you? Or are you going to let yourself be distracted, you know? Solutions. Every time we need solutions. Every single time we need solutions. Okay? To me, in battling distractions, the biggest solution, the biggest tool you need is that discernment. That discernment is going to have you thinking, can this wait? Discernment is going to have you thinking, is this my job? Or am I over here reaching out on somebody else's job, okay? We need discipline 100% because if you are not disciplined, you're going to make it your business. It ain't your business. I had I teach classes. You know, we have a recent class going on. We have Odoo class going on. We're going to have the spiritual man and the spiritual woman class going on very soon. So we get in the classes, right? And she, class had ended. Everything was good. I always end the class. Have any questions? No, I'm good. And then she called me back, and I thought it was kind of strange, but she called me back and said, hey, I have a question. What if I feel nosy and I just want to look and see stuff that don't belong to me, but I just want to know the information? I said, you know what? I'm glad that you called me back to ask me that. That is a big no. Yeah, this tool is not for just you to be digging into other people's information. And she said, okay. I really needed you to tell me that. I was like, oh, okay. So discipline. You know, we're going to say that a couple more times in class. Discipline. You understand, what you're here for, and then exercise that muscle that makes sure that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing and not doing what you're not supposed to be doing. Don't give those distractions power over you. Honesty, and I know we're getting close to our time. That's why I'm going pretty quickly. Honesty. You have to be honest with yourself. Please be honest. Be honest when you know that, for me, I have a whole accountability team. I don't play with me. I have people I call just for particular subjects or topics or questions. And I tell them, please watch me. I'm here. I'm overstepping. Please watch me. I'm not being honest about how tired I am or how this I am or how that I am. Please watch me. Watch over me. And correct me. When I ask someone to watch me, that means I'm also going to open myself up to correction, and that's a big deal for me. Determination, okay? When it comes to these distractions have one goal, and that is to pull you off measure. They have a job. Their job is to make sure that you don't achieve what you're looking to achieve. So you have to be determined that you're going to achieve this goal. And then that's going to make a lot of those distractions just fall off. So that determination is needed, but, it's got to be from the very core of you. It can't be a superficial thing. Your determination has got to be, I have some goals, and I've been working on these goals for about a year, and it doesn't look like they're going nowhere. Those goals is, I'm like, oh, am I ever going to get done? Am I ever going to achieve this? And it can be very frustrating when you don't think you're getting ahead. But keep fighting. That's the determination. And the last thing I think that you need when it comes to not letting your distractions get you is that self-love, self-worth. You have got to be able to see how valuable your time is. You have to see how valuable your everything is in order to maintain where you are and where you're trying to go. So don't let the distractions come in and have their way with you. Mess up your timeline. Take your goals out of, don't do that. Fight it a little bit more. Absolutely. So this is where we are. This is what we're trying to do. This is what we're building, okay? So from this point on, the next Wednesday, watch your distractions. Watch how easily you're allowing other things to take over your mind space. Watch how easily or difficult it is to remember the things that are important, like I got to call this elder, I got to do this, I got to do that. And how easy it is to remember the nonsense of who did or did not do Super Bowl right. I don't know. So, let's really focus on the things that we know are beneficial to us, and those other distractions, we may have to kind of let them go for a minute, okay? It won't always be this difficult, but allow yourself to really push on right now. We got to get up to devotions. And through devotion. So what we're trying to do right now is get a running start, okay? Prayer. Prayer is so very important. I am thankful for prayer. I am thankful that God allows us to come to him whenever we're in need. You can, whether you're coming all times of the day, whether you are a one time a day, whether you're praying only in emergencies, you know, I'm just thankful that God allows for us to come to him and to share where we're having these challenges at, where we're doing. I'm very thankful for that because he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. I'm thankful that I learned about prayer at a very young age. It's a very natural process. And I'm very thankful that my children have picked up on it and follow through. Even if it's very different how I do it, I'm thankful that they just have that relationship with God where they can make prayers directly for themselves and feel protected, cared for, watched over, and everything like that. So, again, you know, we're here creating legacy. We're here helping people get to where they need to go. We're here shining that light on spirituality. And, you know, in order for us to shine a nice, beautiful, clear light, we ourselves have got to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves, that we're praying, that we're fasting, that we are really preparing our vessel for spiritual purposes, okay? Moving into prayer, Father, Mother, God, we come before you thankful for the work, thankful for the challenges, thankful for the distractions even, as they help to push us closer to you. God, I am personally thankful for the awareness of this challenge so that I can move forward stronger than ever, knowing that your word, your work, your the relationship that I'm building with you, God, is worth way more than anything that this world could offer me. This world doesn't have a distraction big enough to pull me away from you. I am committed to you. I'm committed to the work. I'm committed to making sure that your word is delivered in a positive tone. I am committed to making sure that as many people as possible, God, to know you and the greatness that you have. God, I am thankful for you just allowing me to maintain a voice that I can go and teach and preach and share and have more and more people understand how much you really do love us. God, I want to thank you, and I want to thank you for keeping all of us in good health, especially in good mental health. God, I know that there are many out here that are suffering. You know, please stay with them as they go through their mental challenges, their physical challenges. God, watch over the children of A Wonderful Approach, knowing that they're walking with their light up in some very dangerous situations. God, please continue to watch over our physical self, our mental, as we are dealing with some very serious challenges. But God, I know that you have the ability to watch, protect, guide, to have us avoid any type of misfortune. God, I know there are blessings for the work that we do. Please continue to shine down and to give us the blessings for the work. Please continue to guide our steps, to guide our tongue, to clear our thoughts. We ask this in your name. Amen.